Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of the podcast for skint millennials. I'm Rick Worth, a writer and layabout, and I'm here with
Grace Holliday, a freelance journalist and content writer,
and Robin Vinter, a journalist and editor of news site The Overtake.
Woo. Okay, so let's move on to our theme for this week, which is, as you may be able to see from the title of the podcast, travel and holidays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is perhaps a bit of a controversial topic to say that we are skint millennials, because everybody would probably say that that's the one thing that we can't afford.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
What was everybody's first holiday? I went abroad once between the ages of womb and 11. We went to Menorca, so I would probably say Mallorca, one of them. So I would probably say that was my first holiday. But I actually would say my proper first holiday was when I was 11, and me and my mum and dad went to Lanzarote, and we had a self-catering hotel.
Whoa.
And pools, and my dad used to go for runs on the beach in the morning, and I feel like you never forget.
Smiling so much.
Yeah, you never forget that first holiday abroad, because up until then we just did camping in Devon. And we didn't even pay for accommodation, we just paid for our pitch, because my mum and dad had a trailer tent. Do you guys know what a trailer tent is?
What's a trailer tent?
So a trailer tent is like, it's really difficult to explain, so it's like a big...
It's a trailer.
It's a big trailer that you put behind your car. Mm-hmm. And then ours was one that you fold over. So imagine the shape of a trailer, and then you lift up the bars and you fold it over so it goes to like double the size. And as you fold it, it turns into a tent.
What the fuck is that?
It's magical.
And then when you go into the tent, it like has a kind of a platform in it, because that's like the trailer, and it's quite luxurious actually for a tent.
So ours was probably about 70 years old by the time we got our hands on it secondhand. Ours had a walking around section, and it also had a bed section. So whenever we used to go on holiday, we had a little curtain in the middle. So me, Nathan and Kate, my brother and sister, would sleep in one little beddy section, and then there was a single like ripped curtain down the middle, and then my mum and dad would sleep on the other side.
We had
so there was
exactly the same setup.
Really?
Like, trailer tent, exactly the same setup.
Yeah, there was just five of us in a bed with a curtain in the middle. But it was the best thing. It was the best thing.
I don't think my flat has a walk around section. That tent is literally a step up from...
When I say walk around section, I mean 5 steps forward and 2 steps to the side.
Oh man, that's 3 more steps than we get.
I think they also bought it, or I don't know if they found it somewhere or bought it, but we also had an extension section that they then used to do the cooking in and that kind of thing. So it did make it like double the size.
What about you? I think my first holiday was probably like just Lake District, Camp Rhyl.
Yeah. Real nice.
Cousin live
Where's
there.
Real?
North Wales.
North Wales.
Yeah. I've never been to Wales in my life.
Oh, it's You've wonderful. Never been
talking
oh,
of travel
really
and holidays.
It.
Do you speak Welsh?
I'm learning on Duolingo. Oh. But I don't know. I can say like, do you mean huffy coffee?
Does that mean I want a hot coffee?
No, it means I like coffee.
Because one of the words is English. So.
I mean, coffee, it's spelled slightly differently.
Oh, okay.
What I love about Welsh is like chocolate is pronounced chocolid, and it's written S-I-O-C-L-E-D, which is nice.
It just seems churlish. Just go on, yeah.
Isn't microwave ping pong?
It's Poppity Ping.
Poppity Ping.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most wonderful things I ever learned.
I feel really bad speaking Welsh in my probably awful English accent, but I'm trying my hardest. There are apparently more people learning Welsh on Duolingo than actually
speak Welsh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a weird language.
Yeah.
Where did you used to go on holiday, Rick?
Real.
North Wales.
The first time we ever went abroad, I think I was 8, maybe between 8 and 12. We went to Spain. I don't really remember anything about it other than me being uncomfortably hot.
I feel like that's my exact memory of when I went when I was about 6.
Yeah.
Just hot.
And then as I got older, my mum would take my brother and sister on holiday and I'd just stay at home.
That's a bit sad.
Yeah.
I think I preferred it. I kind of like just being in the house.
When you're a teenager, it isn't a nightmare going on holiday with your family. Like, you just hate them so much.
Oh, it definitely turned into that for me when I got to about 15 because I was still sharing a room with them.
Yeah.
And as a 15-year-old girl, there was one particular holiday where I'd just broken up with a guy who I'd really loved. Well, broken up. He'd broken up with me. Come on. And then I literally went on holiday. No, do you know what? He broke up with me while I was on holiday by text. That's what it was. And
name
so,
shame.
Yeah, the absolute, absolutely not. Arsehole.
They got back together and married.
No. So I feel like I got broken up with at 15 with a guy who had always, I'd always been like, oh my God, he's way too popular and cool to be with me. And then my suspicions were confirmed. Probably because I wouldn't have sex with him was probably the reason.
Good for you.
Yeah, damn right, good for me. Great. I'm proud of myself now.
Yeah.
But still, the last thing you want to do when you've just broken up with a guy at 15 is be sharing a bedroom with your mum and dad in the middle of like wherever the fuck we were. So
you just reminded me actually that we went to Spain and by chance. So I think I must have been 8 because we were still in primary school. Like 10, let's say, because otherwise this following story becomes a little bit weird. But this girl who I had a crush on was there, and like we hung out over the summer, and then when we went back to school, we kind of just like
ignored each other. Because like,
at that age, your friend, the boys are friends with boys,
and
the girls are friends with girls. Not in 2018, fuck that noise. But then it became awkward, and then I think we started like going out in year 6, which involved saying that we were going out with each other and then avoiding each other like the plague.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah, no, your lovely story about that bastard who dumped you by text reminded me of that. That's a fondish memory.
Were you in a hotel or were you...
I think by that point, we were in hotels.
Okay.
I think we'd moved up from the self-catering.
Because I had never stayed in a hotel until I was in my late teens. Because like my family, we just never...
Not once?
We did camping or we did loads of different stuff. Or like at least not in my memory. Maybe when I was a very young child. But like, yeah. To the point where when I got my first ever journalism job as a reporter, I had to do a lot of travelling. It was Farmers Weekly magazine, agricultural magazine. And I did like a lot of travelling. And the first few times I like had to stay places on my own. Didn't know how to stay in a hotel. Which sounds like hilarious and embarrassing.
You would keep looking out the window or just wandering out of the street.
So, right, but if you didn't know anything about hotel, right?
Knocking on other people's doors. Hello, I've just moved in next door.
But you know, like you've got a room booked, right? You turn up, there's a desk. So you assume, okay, like I've got to get the key to the room. You go to the desk and like, oh, so I'm going to be staying here for the next couple of days. And then they're like, oh, are you checking in? And then you're like, yes, that's the thing that I'm doing. Then they like give you the keys and stuff, and then you're like, what do? I pay now? Or like, what is it's so like, because it's kind of taken for granted that you know, it's embarrassing to admit that you don't know what the system is.
And the only way you learn is probably by watching your parents check in and check out, or watching other people do it. So, I mean, I guess that's fair enough,
But
even
on films, it's not really clear. Like, I don't know, I just feel like the process isn't clear.
Yeah,
like at the end of your stay, what do you like? It all turned out fine. Like, I went and gave the key card back, and
like
I think
that,
I paid at the end.
Have I ever had a dream, but, kid?
What was that?
Sorry, this is the meme of that kid who's really struggling to get your story out, and he keeps starting over, and it ends with,
sorry,
have you ever had a dream? And he lays back like, he's the dopest guy alive.
We will share whatever on earth this is that Rick's talking about on our social media.
I'll put that in the description. I mean, if people have not seen that, like it's like from GeoCities, it's really old.
Oh, okay.
But sorry, about booking into, even Kevin McAllister managed to book into a hotel in He managed to book into Trump Towers, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think his parents stayed in hotels, so that's how he learned.
This is the Home Alone guy.
The Home Alone kid, yeah. As if we're just talking about it.
The documentary Home Alone.
But I honestly think this is like a much more common thing than people realise, or this kind of thing. And like flights as well. I'd flown a couple of times before, but I'd never like been...
Flights, like, I'm so weird with.
As a very young child, where you don't watch what the process is of flying. So like, even now sometimes I haven't flown that often, so like I'll go and I don't understand the procedure, and I'm like, well, like at security I'm like, what do I need to do? And my boyfriend's like, oh, just, you need to get all these things out of your bag. And so like, I just haven't flown that often.
You know, it's funny that you are so bad at checking into hotels, because I'm actually the queen of it.
Nice.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm the queen of hotel upgrades.
Tell us more.
Why does he have a car?
Yeah.
So how do you get your... Why does it... Are you just lucky, or do you have a technique?
I'm not lucky. I have crafted a technique from the ground up since I was about 18. And nice. Pretty much every city and holiday I've been on, I've managed to get an upgrade. So examples, shortly after the wedding, I went to Prague. No, I didn't. I went to Lisbon with my best friend, Aggie. And when we got to the hotel, I decided to tell the lady that I had booked the whole holiday and that I was bringing my best friend, Aggie, with me as a thank you for being my bridesmaid, my chief bridesmaid at my wedding.
Was that
a week ago? I mean, she was my chief bridesmaid at the wedding, but it was 6 months ago and I definitely hadn't paid for her half.
Nice.
But I don't know whether we came across like best mates or we came across like secret lovers who were, because I'm very tactile as it is, so there was a lot of touching and kind of snuggling up to each other.
So maybe they felt bad for you that you felt like you couldn't be
maybe.
Maybe the drop that you were like, this is my friend, and then you mentioned a marriage, they were like, oh, maybe they're a gay couple.
Well, I mean, maybe she didn't understand. Maybe she only understood like half the words I said. So anyway, they upgraded us to a beautiful city view suite thingy. Same in Dublin, London, Marrakesh.
She's done it so many times.
Oh my God, I've done it everywhere. Everywhere. All the whole, like, me and my mum try and do a holiday together every 2 years, 3 years, and she pays most of it when she can. And all of those have been upgraded.
I did not know you could do that. Like, it's something like, I just didn't register that it existed.
When you go with a friend, you pretend that you're treating your friend. When you go with your mother, you say that you've paid for the holiday for your mother, because, like, my mum had just retired recently, so I said that and gotten us upgrade. But also, when you've got a boyfriend, then a fiance, then a husband, it's just perpetually your honeymoon.
But is it just a free up? They just upgrade you for free? Just oh, that's crazy. See, I have the almost exact opposite story of that.
Did somebody take a look at you and Beth and downgrade you?
Kind of.
Me and Beth and my colleague and co-creator, Jordan, and his wife, Emma, we're all going down to London for work. We're going to a big convention to sell our comic book. And I had booked the hotel, and this was about a week, maybe 2 weeks after the Lee Rigby incident in London. Mm. And everyone was really worried, and we were at the convention hall, and we hadn't been to the hotel yet, and there was like lots of chatter. So I decided to call the hotel just to make sure, is everything all right there? Is there a police cordon, anything like that? They're like, no, it's all fine. The streets are normal, London has carried on. Like, excellent British spirit, let's go do this. So then we took the train out of the XL Arena all the way to the other side of London to this hotel. We found the door that was listed as the entrance to the hotel and went up these stairs, and the hotel was not built.
What?
The hotel didn't exist. But we'd called them and they're like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, everything's all sorted. And then when I got there, I was like, the hotel's not built and we've paid money. And he was like, oh, yeah, we refunded you this morning. And we checked and they had. But I was like, why didn't you tell us not the day before we arrived in London, because we're now, there's four of us in London without a place to stay and we have to get a hotel tonight. And he was like, oh yeah, I emailed you. And I was like, you never did email there. But yeah, that's kind of the opposite of an upgrade.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's really bad.
I mean, I was furious at the time.
Because it's like with something like Airbnb, you know that it can get cancelled, but with a hotel you expect...
For it to be built.
For it to exist, yeah.
It was like, to make it sound like it wasn't built, makes it sound like there was just a void, like a lintel, and then I walked through and
was
like, oh.
There's nothing there, yeah.
There was a room, and there was a man in a box room, And he was like, yes, this will be a hotel soon.
It reminds me of, is it the movie Sing, where the hotel or the hotel or something falls down, and then at the end all the they just perform in a bare shell of a room? I mean, you two don't understand, but I understand some listeners will understand what I mean by the end of Sing.
One thing I wanted to mention in this episode is that we had a nice letter from a reader, which actually just came in the form of a Facebook message to me.
And do they listen to the podcast also?
Yes. So I'll do? I'll read it for you. Hey, just listened to the podcast and loved it. 2 exclamation marks.
Excellent taste.
For your travel episode, you should, if you get time, you should talk about these middle-class travellers that fund their travelling by begging in foreign countries. We get them in Banff all the time, which is part of Canada. Wanting money so they can travel to their next destination. For me, if you can't afford to travel, don't do it. And that's from Sophie Whittam, who is from Bradford but lives in Canada at the moment.
What an upgrade.
I had not heard of this before, so I did a bit of research actually about begpacking. And apparently it's a really common thing. So you get loads of Western travellers, especially in places like East Asia. They go, there's like this kind of like philosophy that you don't need a load of money to travel, but what they're really doing is kind of like relying on the kindness of strangers to kind of get them about in Asia, and also apparently Canada now.
So a typical day of begpacking, what does it consist of?
It's begging. So like there's a bit of a mixture from the research that I've done. There are people who kind of sell things on the street, so like Western people selling postcards and like homemade jewelry and that kind of thing, and then there's people literally with like a cardboard sign, like, you know, traditional beggar style, saying, I need some money to get me to this next place. Would you be so kind to help fund my trip?
I don't really have a problem with people selling stuff along the way. That seems to me like
it's like good a mild sense. Nuisance. Yeah, it's like a mild nuisance, but they're doing something for
like
the money.
A traveling salesman, but the intention isn't to sell stuff, it's to travel.
Yeah,
and they're not getting in anybody's way either. Like sitting on the side of the street trying to sell something that they've created is, I think, it's not ideal, but it's a different ball game entirely to actually just asking for money for nothing in return.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people go traveling and pick up jobs while they're traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. But like just asking for money, I feel I would be too embarrassed. Even if my life depended on it, even if I was like, oh no, I'm going to die in Banff, Canada.
Yes.
What a stupid place to die.
Yeah. Well, so she said they literally stand there with the cardboard sign asking for money, and they go to gas stations and ask people for money for gas as well.
Okay, this is a pretty long shot, but if anybody's listening and has ever begpacked, get in touch.
Yeah,
I want to know,
because
we won't attack you. We promise not to attack you. We are just curious to know, A, what you do, and B, how you justify it.
Yeah, especially in a country where people, you know, somewhere like East Asia, like Vietnam, where people actually aren't that well off.
But are also very kind and very generous.
Yeah.
Like the worst people to take advantage of.
Lisa says that it's middle class. I've not read about it, so I don't know. But it seems like these are people that would have the money if they needed to be like, oh, well, I couldn't beg, so I can just buy a plane ticket and get out of there.
Yeah. So
and also, what a waste of your time there. Like, why not, if you've got the money to and you've saved to, why not go and see the sights and go to the museums and the galleries? Why spend a day sitting on the street if you've got the money to do that?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I looked at some of the pictures of the people, and I know you should never judge by pictures, but they are like traditional white traveller type people.
Ooh, like the Gap Year Man.
Yeah. Oh my God, peak Gap Year Man. I don't know. And like, you just can't judge, and you never know what might happen. Like, you might go somewhere and something horrible might happen to you. But really, you should have a backup plan. You should have enough money to cover the cost of your trip. And you should have, you know, if you got robbed or if you lost your passport or whatever, you should have a backup plan for that, really.
Yeah, and I don't think that those things are the same. I think somebody begging because they want to carry on travelling is one thing and is wrong, in my opinion. But I do think that if you have been robbed and you've had your bag taken off you and they've taken your, you know, your extra bag with your backup items and you can't get any money through for 3 or 4 days, then maybe that's fair enough. But I do think those are two.
I mean, like, in that kind of situation, let's say you've lost, I don't know, whatever it is, your passport or just like all your money, you can go to like the embassy or the consulate and get them to contact your family at home to send more money.
Depending on if you're in the city that has an embassy or a consulate, though. If you're
Machu Picchu, then... Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a good point.
If you work for the British Embassy in Banff, Canada, please get in touch. Yeah. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're povos still, is because these people can just ask for money
for free to do what they want.
Mm.
I was like, where I was raised, it would be embarrassing. There'd be a lot of faces. Yeah, to say,
it's rude.
What? I want some money that you have for something I want to do.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing enough to ask someone to borrow money to be like, can I borrow some money because I can't pay my bills?
I mean, me asking you for £1.30 to buy myself a breakfast muffin this morning was pretty mortifying, to be fair.
It was a little bit. And we do have pics of that incident.
We do. Evidence. Not of the muffin, which is currently sat next to me.
We'll take a picture of the empty muffin and write this cost Rick.
In fact, you gave her a whole fiver, didn't you?
She gave me the change back.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, very good. Nice. I knew that her social anxiety.
She would be able to handle it.
Call me out on the next podcast, be like, I am down 375.
I would not have slept tonight.
Now it's time for our profession, which is a confession about anything you feel bad about related to your wealth. Our economic status.
Yes, so Sophie from Banff, who got in touch earlier about the bag packing, has a profession. She said, I love cooking at home, but I can't afford to buy all the herbs and spices, so I steal them from work. It's good though, isn't it? That's genius.
Why does
she works
work
in hospitality?
She works where,
In hospitality. So she works in a hotel, so they have all the spices in a hotel.
I was thinking about when you work in an office and there's like tea, loo roll. I went through about 2 years of taking loo rolls from work.
I once, a place where I, the cinema where I used to work, I once took probably about 6 months worth of loo rolls home. I thought I was being genius. Like I got home to my housemates and I was like, look at all this free loo roll that I've got. And they were like, and one of the girls was like, oh, it's so rough. And I was like, fuck you then.
Yeah, not triple ply. It's so did you steal it all at once or over the...
No, because...
She didn't just walk home with 6 months worth of toilet roll, yeah. Rick.
They were really big, like, you know, utility style rolls. And I would take maybe two or three home at a time.
I had an idea about toilet rolls. Another thing you were on The Apprentice about. I've already got a name for it. Toilet rolls? So here's my thinking, right. If a toilet roll were the height of a kitchen roll, you would end up using less.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about what people's wiping are. But you know, you don't just use one square of toilet paper.
Yeah, and square is almost the wrong shape.
Yeah, but here's my thinking. If the paper were just 1.5 times taller, you would might use one or two squares, but you would fold it more. And overall...
I'll scrunch it more.
Yeah.
Oh, are you a scruncher?
I'm a scruncher.
Oh, I'm a folder.
Folder, smooth.
Yeah. You guys are... Yeah, but you want...
Especially when it's cinema loo roll. Yeah.
Do you want smooth? Because surely you just use more if it's smooth.
Bit of fun, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my idea. I was like, it's probably good for the environment and it would help you control how... Because sometimes I will just have way too much toilet paper and I then feel terrible. I was like, this is bad for the environment and I've wasted money.
Tweet us.
I have like a rule for two things. I will never scrimp money on toilet paper and I'll never scrimp money on bin bags. Because doing either will result in a mess.
Indeed it is. What's the problem this week, Rick?
I have the problem this week.
Yes, you do, Rick.
Oh, no, sorry. That was a statement of confirmation, not a question. So, the problem that we have this week is when one is poor, or a pauper, or skint as we are, how does one justify spending a lot of money on a holiday? Like, how does you deal with the guilt that comes with?
And also, it could just be not just holidays. It could also be an expensive train ticket to visit a friend, because I really struggle with that. I have lots of friends who live around the country and I definitely should have visited them by now. But I tot up how much my time off work, travel, even staying at the house for free, we're going to go out for breakfast, then we're going to go for lunch, then I'm going to have to buy them a little gift to say thank you. Suddenly £150 and I keep putting it off.
The trains are obscene. We've been trying to see a couple of friends for a couple of months now, and every time we tally up how much it would cost either of us to get a train to see the other one, it starts to get into the hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
And then it becomes more viable for each of us to buy flights to another country to meet up with one another.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Have you guys ever heard of a megabus?
Yes.
Because
only
I get
in my nightmares, Robin. Only I know,
and it is horrible. It's the most unpleasant experience that you will ever have, probably. But it is so cheap. So, like, going to London, you know, you can do it for £7 each way, which I think is
the problem with the megabuses is that it actually only works if you live in big cities. I lived in Macclesfield for over a year, about a year and a half, and it just wasn't an option. And that was the poorest I've ever been when I lived my first job out of uni, working on a flooring magazine. I was so skint, and there was no megabus.
Did
it was the train.
A flooring magazine?
Do you not know this about me? That was my first job.
Oh, that's excellent.
Do you want to hear my sentence that I always say? I was the editor of the UK's leading digital magazine for the flooring industry.
Like tiles and shit.
That was actually our...
Tiles and shit.
Yeah, that was the tagline. Tomorrow's Floor, it's now called Tomorrow's Contract Floors. So I am...
Shout out there if you want to sponsor in Tomorrow's Floors. What was it called?
Absolutely, let's keep the hell away from that company.
Right. I think the worst experience of my life ever was on a megabus.
Oh, really?
No, that is nowhere near fair.
I feel like that's
what's
bold.
What's happened to me in the last couple of years? I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, and also, yeah, like, I saw a child die and then the bus burst into flames. Yeah.
Probably the most amount of physical pain I've probably ever been that I can recall.
Did the megabus hit you?
Right, I don't know what happened to me. So, again, with my colleague Jordan, and we were going to London again for some more work. We're going to a different convention this time because it was just me and him. And we had to get the megabus at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to London in time. And he'd been sat on the floor, crouched over all night, doing artwork, ready for the convention. So then he stood up and his spine just stopped working properly. He didn't become, sorry, that was the baby too. He was in a lot of agony. He didn't stop, he didn't have the use of his legs. He was fine. but he's in so much pain. I was like, oh, you've been a big baby, just let's go. So I had to really force him through Leeds to get to the megabus. And then 15 minutes into the megabus journey, my kidney just, it felt like there were rocks and crystals in there. And I was in excruciating agony, doubled over, and I couldn't get any water. And I couldn't communicate with anyone on the bus because it's always full of just people speaking the craziest languages.
Yeah.
That's not fair to their languages. They're probably fine languages.
But you don't understand them.
I can't understand anyone. And the bus didn't stop, and it was 5 hours. So when we got off at the other end at Victoria, we were both hobbled over, crying in endless pain. It was 8 o'clock in London. And then we had to make our way to the arena. It was just awful. And then I was fine once I drank a bottle of water. I think I was just super dehydrated. John did the entire convention. But it was just incredibly weird pain.
I was going to say, that sounds like kidney stones. I would know, as I've had three and was in hospital with them.
Oh, it's fine. I didn't pee anything out, I don't think. I don't need anything removed.
Are they big enough to know if you pee them out?
You can or you can't.
I think it's for blokes, isn't it? Don't they have a really hard time with it?
I mean, we have a pretty small hole too, Rick.
I don't know who has the smallest hole, to be honest.
Sure you do.
Drop out of us.
No, because it's got to go a little further on a man, hasn't it? Because it's got to go to...
Yeah, that is definitely true.
So welcome to the podcast where we talk about female and male anatomy.
It's
got to go an extra, say, 8 or 9 inches to get out.
I think it's not...
Okay, all right, Rick.
But it's not going to go that much.
You need 2 inches, Rick. Yeah. 2 inches. I think it's not so much the actual peeing it out that was them. I had them for... It took me 8 months to pass them. And it's not so much the actual peeing it out. It's the... As it continues to move through your kidneys.
Oh, don't they have a laser that they can shoot at you to
They won't do it on a young woman of 22 because it could have fucked up my fertility.
It's like a sonic thing, isn't it? It beats.
They'll do it on men, but they won't do it on women.
Male privilege. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah,
it is.
Obviously, you guys can't see this, but I got such daggers then as having all my clothes on. It put me in trouble.
Such male privilege.
So I certainly feel... at times that I can't afford a holiday and that I don't, for that reason, deserve a holiday, which is really problematic kind of thinking.
Definitely.
But yeah, me and my partner are really good at kind of putting off stuff like that. Like, we just don't go on holiday if we don't have any money. And it's not good for you. It's not good for your mental health.
No, I think vitamin D, sunshine, putting away your phone for a couple of days is literally, it's like keeps me alive. I prioritize holidays really highly in my life. I don't go on a great deal, but if I could do a weekend trip with a girlfriend and one holiday with my husband a year.
And also, you want to look back on your life and have some like distinctive memories.
Yeah, and
if
also,
if you don't go away, you never have those.
Yeah,
really.
And I don't work as hard as I do every day in being self-employed and running my own business and looking after myself. I don't work so hard to not see the benefit of it. I need to see, it needs to be tangible to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to know that I worked that hard for 6 months in order to enjoy that week abroad. We've recently booked a holiday that we're going on in a few weeks' time, and it's because I'm a researcher at heart, I spent months, probably about 2 months, finding the perfect hotel and the perfect price and getting together all the discount codes and the best times to book and waiting, blah blah blah. So we've managed to do 7 nights, 4-star, all inclusive, with transfers and bags with Thomas Cook for £300 each, which is
amazing.
A bargain.
That is very good.
And it's in Turkey, which is why it's cheaper, because obviously with all the travel warnings, people aren't as keen to go to Turkey as they once were. But I do truly believe that A, holidays are important, and B, you should find the money. And actually, if you want to go on holiday, you can find cheap holidays. They do exist.
They do exist. I kind of, not to politicise it, but I think there's a narrative that if you're poor, you shouldn't be having luxury items.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, you will be able to save up money, which I guess is almost true. If you don't spend the money, you will have it. But being poor is kind of constant, so you're going to lose it eventually.
Yeah.
Mm.
And yeah, just say your mental health benefits so much from going on a holiday. I remember at university, my final year, I was absolutely scared. I was really upset about my dissertation. There was a lot of rubbish going on. I couldn't pay my rent 1 month. And I called my mum and she was like, don't worry about it. I'll send you some money. Right. And she didn't send me money to pay my rent. But she was like, you'll have to get a job to do that. But she sent me like £20. So she was like, can I have that £20? I was like, oh, you know, that's not really, nothing is better than £20. You're like, that's not for food, that's not for rent, that's for you to go out tonight and have a drink and relax and have a night off.
That's so nice.
That's nice.
Oh, I'm joking up.
Oh.
I'm joking up about how brave I am.
Do you want one of us to take over?
That was so good, and I've kind of always had that philosophy. And sometimes when work's getting too hard with me and Beth, we'd be like, right, fuck it, we need some days off and we need to have a day out, and you need to treat yourself
and take your mind off it as well, because you cannot live a perpetual kind of poor existence.
No.
And shall we get ahead of the people who are going to go, well, if you didn't spend £600 on going on holiday, you'd be able to afford a house deposit? We wouldn't.
Still wouldn't be able to afford it.
And also, like, how many years you have to do that before you know, like, living without a holiday
for... So don't bother getting in touch with that.
It's normal for people to have a house and go on holiday. It doesn't have to be one or the other necessarily.
That was the section of the podcast where we make one of us cry remembering something awful from our past. So tune in next week for Tears from Robin.
What shall I talk about? I'll have a think about
Tears from Robin.
Tears from Robin's a great name for an album.
I'll think of something one of the most troubling times of my life, and I'll come back and explain it to you all.
Crikey.
This week.
Yeah.
Right, guys, should we wrap up with our thank yous?
Absolutely. Our thank yous need to go to Charlotte, Charlotte Nichols, for recording this and helping us with the edit and just being an all-round wonderful assistant.
Patient person.
She's amazing. So thank you, Charlotte. Thank you also to Acast, who host us. Thank you to the people who have contributed and who've got in touch and let us know. Let us know what they think. Let us know what they thought. And also people who have followed us on Twitter and Instagram and
shared our first episode with their friends.
Yes, absolutely.
Grace, what is our Twitter handle?
Oh, Rick, it's a funny chance that you fucked that up. It's funny you should ask me that, Rick. So on Twitter we are at the Povcast. On Instagram we are at the Povcast, and you can also email us at thepovcastuk@gmail.com.
Thank you. I remembered last week. I forgot to thank Jordan, who did our logo.
Yes.
Ah, thank you, logo man.
He's been mentioned about 4 times on this podcast now, so he's got his thanks.
Yeah. Acast, we have a link to his work as well.
Yeah, he's a freelance illustrator, so you can hire him as well. For illustrations, don't hire him to write articles.
He's shit.
Thank you so much for listening. Our next topic will be food and drink, so if you have povlims or professions related to that, then please get in touch. Obviously it's quite a broad topic, but we can see what happens, and we will see you very soon.
Bye.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.